some sort of convention involving lawyers or something like that, or who knows. But she's not going to be here, so you're stuck with me till John gets here, if John gets here. So we'll find out what's going on in the wonderful world of the news. So let's hear what they have to say in the news.
USA Radio News.
Today at the White House press briefing, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar laid out the four pillars in President Donald Trump's new drug policy.
First, increased competition. Second, increased and better negotiation. Third, incentives to actually lower list prices. And fourth, lowering out-of-pocket costs.
Fresh off his meeting today in North Korea with Kim Jong-un, we also heard from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on what North Korea can expect if the summit goes well.
If North Korea takes bold action to quickly denuclearize, the United States is prepared to work with North Korea to achieve prosperity on the par with our South Korean friends. The United States looks forward to continued close cooperation with our South Korean allies on this issue and many others.
Please remember, you can check us out online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
Posting your job opening to an online job search site is like drinking from a fire hose. You get more resumes than you know what to do with. Robert Half is the better way to hire. Our candidates are interviewed and custom matched to your exact hiring requirements. Quickly, satisfaction guaranteed. So what you need is just what you'll get. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Make your home an ADT home and help protect against break-ins, fire, and carbon monoxide. Get our lowest rate for fast response monitoring, starting at just $28.99 a month. That's about a dollar a day from the most trusted name in home security. Get ADT's tested, trusted, and proven security and service, now at a great value. Don't wait. Call today. ADT. Always there. Now everywhere. Requires 36-month monitoring contract. Early termination, taxes, and install fees apply. Certain markets excluded. See terms and pricing at ADT.com.
A former president cautions the U.S. against isolationism. USA Radio Network's Washington correspondent Chris Barnes has more.
If we are together, nothing is impossible. If we are divided, all will fail.
At an awards ceremony held in Washington on Thursday night, former President George W. Bush said America is indispensable for the world, and the prize of greatness is responsibility, paraphrasing what legendary British leader Winston Churchill once said about America.
One cannot rise to be, in many ways, the leading community in the civilized world without being involved in its problems.
Bush, 43, was addressing the Atlantic Council, which gave him a Distinguished Leadership Award. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Legal experts say that reports of Liberal comedian Rosie O'Donnell donating more than the legal limit to five Democratic candidates reflect a common breach of campaign financing that is often dismissed by authorities. This is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
Today at the White House, President Donald Trump said he would work on reining in the skyrocketing costs of prescription drugs. He released what he's calling a blueprint. Let's take a listen to a few of President Trump's ideas.
The president's blueprint is a sophisticated approach to reforming and improving this unbelievably complex system. Everybody at HHS is rolling up their sleeves to get to work on this. Let me just give a couple of examples. Think about all the time that everybody spends watching drug company ads on TV and how much information companies are required to put in them. If we want to have a real market for drugs, why not have them disclose their prices in the ads too? Consumers would have much more balanced information, and companies would have a very different set of incentives for setting their prices. We're immediately going to look into having the FDA require this. President Trump has called for tougher negotiation and better deals, so we're going to deliver on that too. Our blueprint brings the latest negotiation tools to our government programs. It also expands private sector negotiation to parts of Medicare, where right now HHS just gets the bill and we pay it.
Time will tell if Congress can get something done on this prescription drug blueprint. This seems like it should be a very bipartisan issue. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good afternoon. I'm Bill Wolfson, one of the sports guys, and let's talk about the weather. It's a beautiful day out there, a bunch of clouds in the sky. It's 71 degrees here in beautiful downtown Flemington. We are expecting some clouds to roll in and then some showers tonight. I've just sodded my lawn, so hopefully that'll keep it sod from dying. Then we're going to get some showers Saturday, then clear to a chance of showers, going from 80% in the morning down to about 30% in the afternoon. Sunday, unfortunately, showers likely, a 60% chance, so we're going to see what the weather does. Sunday, Monday, there's a chance of showers, and Monday night, mostly cloudy. Tuesday, partly sunny, and then some thunderstorms. Tuesday night, more thunderstorms. And there's a hazardous weather outlook posted by the National Weather Service that says thunderstorms will develop late Saturday night and proceed across the area. It's going to be gusty, might be a little bit of hail and some heavy rain. If you've got some bad drainage, keep an eye out. I wouldn't be painting the barn fence anytime soon. So let's talk some sports and let's see what's going on. First of all, congratulations to the Philadelphia 76ers, having only won 10 games two seasons ago. They've managed to turn themselves from a laughingstock in the NBA to a legitimate Eastern Conference contender in just two seasons. They won 52 games and then lost to the Boston Celtics, rather, in the conference semifinals. So the real question is this part of a learning curve where they're going to do well and finally get to the NBA championship after many, many, many years in the desert of being bottom feeders, or are they going to be a Toronto-Indiana sort of franchise that plays well during the regular season but disappoints in the postseason? They are from Philadelphia. They suddenly have some fun problems with Ben Simmons, who's become an instant star, Joel Embiid, who made his first All-Star team and seems to be worth what he's getting paid for. So we've got to see what the next season is going to bring for the Sixers. You know, there was a 16-game winning streak to end the season, a first-round playoff series win over the Miami Heat, and a lot of hoopla over rapper Meek Mill. So it seems like the Sixers had a reason why they might have gone a little deeper, but the Boston Celtics were an excellent team and much too much for them. Also, turning to my favorite sport, the National Hockey League, as you know, the Pittsburgh Penguins were eliminated by the Washington Capitals a couple of nights ago, 4-2. Once again, the Penguins have been dethroned as the NHL Stanley Cup champs because they went all the way last year. So now it's going to be interesting. And the Washington Capitals are going to be facing off against the Tampa Bay Lightning starting tonight. And the guys to watch on Tampa are their goaltender, an excellent, excellent hockey player, a bunch of former Flyers, a bunch of former Rangers. You all know who they are. Watch the back of their uniforms, and a great wing from Russia, Kucherov. Kucherov had 30 goals, a lot of assists, I think almost 40. He's a good, shifty, quick player, and he's going to be playing against his hero, Ovechkin. Alexander Ovechkin, number 8 for the Washington Capitals, was a leading goal scorer this year in the NHL. He has routinely been viewed as one of the best players in the NHL. And the Washington Capitals, though, have never gotten out of a Stanley Cup semifinal round. They've never gotten out of a conference championship. They've never played in a Stanley Cup final, whereas the Lightning have been Stanley Cup champions a couple of times now. They've had a couple big parades. It's kind of odd thinking of your Stanley Cup champions coming from Florida. But that's the way the puck bounces sometimes, folks. Meanwhile, tonight the Phillies host the sagging New York Mets. The New York Mets managed to send up a guy out of the batting order early in the game, like a couple of nights ago. The guy had hit a double, which was negated because he batted out of turn. So let's go figure out what's just wrong with these New York Mets. It's kind of hard to figure out. You know, when things go wrong, everything goes wrong. There's just going to be those times in life. But for you long-suffering Met fans out there, including my brother Scott, hang in there. It can only get worse. They're playing their hot Phillies tonight in Philadelphia at Citizens Bank Field. And, you know, the Phillies have managed to put together a good season so far. You may remember that there was some early criticism about the Phillies manager. That seems to have gone by the board, but, you know, tonight they've got the Mets are putting left-hander Steve Matz up against right-hand pitcher Jake Arrieta, who the Phillies acquired over the winter. First pitch is 7:05 down in Philly at Citizens Bank Park. Nobody really understands what's going on with the Mets. Mets manager Mickey Callaway's got to figure out how to get them out of their current spiral. You've got Asdrubal Cabrera and the rest of the team. They played 7-16 over the past month. And, of course, correction is something that's necessary. For whatever reason, things are going bad for the Mets. It's kind of hard to figure out. Is it the bullpen? Is it the starting pitching? We know that Matz rebounded Saturday from three straight rough outings where he had given up 6.39 runs in each game. He gave up one run in six innings, though, in a 2-0 loss to the Rockies. Meanwhile, the Phillies, after getting roughed up at Miami on April 30th, six runs, eight hits in three and a third innings. Jake Arrieta, the starter tonight, bounced back, giving up one run and two hits in six innings and a 5-4 loss to Washington. So, Odubel Herrera, a guy to watch in Philly, is now batting .341. He's second in the National League, and he's going to be an exciting ball player. The difficulty the Mets are going to have, though, is that the Phillies are playing well, we'll probably continue to do so. A lot of good young ball players. Even Michael Franco seems to be coming around. Phils have the pitching to get themselves at least into a wild card position. The big disappointment, of course, is the Washington Nationals this year. Even the Braves, the baby Braves, seem to have given Atlanta new fresh blood, and they're playing well. So we've got a real problem for our New York Mets here. And they're playing the Phils tonight. It should be fun. It's a beautiful night to go see a ball game. And anybody who's not at the ballpark, including me, well, I feel a little sorry for you. Moving along, let's talk about those white hot, not red hot, but white hot New York Yankees. We know that the Yankees just took 2 out of 3 from the Red Sox, and tonight they're facing the Oakland A's. We've got Sonny Gray, who had been an Oakland A, who was traded at the deadline to the Yankees for a couple of draft choices. We know that Sonny Gray, coming off his two best starts of the season, takes the mound tonight. He was a first-round draft pick for the A's many years ago. And he has been off and on for the Yankees last year, not bad. He pitched a number of good games and got the Yanks to the wild card. This year, he's had a real tough spring, although he has managed to figure out and has had two good outings so far. So, his two best starts of the season behind him. We're going to see what he can do tonight. He feels like after the first five starts where he really struggled, he's suddenly putting it together. He's only given up four runs over the last 12 innings he's pitched, and we're going to see how he does against the A's. The A's have not
played well yet this year and may not. Gray had some real problems keeping the ball down. He was struggling. He had a 7.71 earned run average over the first five games. But Austin Romaine is catching Gray, who seems to be able to help him with his pitching. He's giving him good targets. He's a much better defensive catcher than we're seeing Gary Sanchez, although Romaine is certainly not the hitter Sanchez is. But the Yankees are seeing improvement from Gray, and they're also going to get a good look at who they gave up for him to the A's. Dustin Fowler was part of the package the Yankees sent to the A's. He was an outfielder. He's a month past some injuries. And we have John Manfreda. Good afternoon, John. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Bill. And hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in this afternoon.
It's a beautiful afternoon, isn't it, John?
It really is for the most part, especially if you don't have to deal with clients today, Bill, which unfortunately we do. But
well, the clients are why we get up in the morning, but the sports guys is why we show up on Friday afternoons.
This is true. Good to see you.
It's always a pleasure.
A lot of exciting things. Do you have any voice left after the Red Sox-Yankees series?
Well, I sure do. And we're going to talk about it right after this first commercial break. So let's hit that money button.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. All you veterans, listen up. The sponsors of the May 19th Patriotic Concert being held at 2 p.m. at North Huntington High School are giving away free tickets to veterans and their families as a thank you for your service. Concert includes special guest Joe Piscopo and over 100 performers and musicians, including a 17-piece big band, a 32-piece string orchestra, Broadway show Trans-Siberian Orchestra singer, an operatic angel, a rising child star, a choral group, and of course the award-winning Huntington Harmonizers. You can call the show's producer, Kevin Gray, at 908-419-9878 for ticket info. Call right now because tickets are limited. The number again is 908-419-9878. That's 908-419-9878. It's going to be a great show, so veterans, get your tickets now.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, we're back. I'm the sports guy. I got my friend John Manfredo with me, my other sports guy and all-around good guy buddy. John, good afternoon again.
Good afternoon. Thank you for your kind words. Bill, and before we get into the baseball, I do want to take the opportunity to present you, my very good friend, with an authentic puck from the Las Vegas Golden Knights inaugural season, which I attended a game there on March 20th, in which they dominated and destroyed the Vancouver Canucks. And now, for the first time in history, an expansion team is in the Western Conference Finals in the first year. So, Bill, I present you with this Golden Knights puck and say, you know, you have some incentive for the Knights to win this cup.
I have every incentive.
Number one, that puck is going to become very valuable for those of us who have an inaugural puck if they somehow win the cup. And an interesting side note is at the start of the season, the Vegas odds makers set the Knights at 200-1 to win the Stanley Cup. And people put money on that. People did, and you know, if they win, Vegas is gonna take a little hit on that, I think.
But you know something, they make so much money on those books. Who cares?
I don't on the books and off the books, Bill.
I don't cry for bookies, and I don't cry for sports bettors. I think though that thank you. This is a great gift, folks. I wish you could see this. It's a black puck, like they all are, but with Vegas Golden Knights with two stars on either side, Vegas in white, a gold bar, and underneath it the words Golden Knights. Now,
very pretty logo.
It's a pretty puck, a pretty logo, and I'm not real big on the Middle Ages. Monty Python ruined that for me. In Monty Python and the Holy Grail, but on the other hand, you know, all that night stuff, that's pretty cool. I hear that arena is gorgeous.
Bill, it is breathtaking, and I hope when you're out in Vegas with me next March, we get to go to a game again. Hopefully they're home again that week that we're there, and I'll take you to the arena. It is a fantastic place, and like everything I do in Vegas, it's upscale, it's showgirls, it's the night skating around with a sword and wandering around the arena with a sword and taking on the opposing team's mascot, and it's really well done.
Oh, you mean not like Tonya Harding driving the Zamboni?
And even better.
And slew-footing the opposing goalie.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's
but Bill,
a good thing to hear.
That I've been holding that for a while, and now it's even more appropriate than when I got it in March. I've been forgetting about it because now the Western Conference Finals are underway and the Vegas Knights are in the thick of it. So enjoy the puck. Let's see how the Conference Finals go. And having said that,
looks like it's going to turn out real good. Meanwhile, I have a text message from somebody who wants to be a client of my law firm, so I'm really impressed.
Well, that maybe they're hearing you on the air here, and they're trying to get your attention.
They must certainly be, and you know, we'll have to reach out to this fellow right after the show, and I'll be delighted.
And folks, Bill is not only a great bankruptcy creditors' rights lawyer, but he's vigilant. And as he just said, after the show at 6:01, I'll be trying to drag Bill to go get a hamburger or something, and he'll be attending to that client. So,
but you know, but something?
Such is the life of lawyers.
John, you must say I'm a fair man. I'm going to give him at least an hour to get away.
This is true.
Okay. Speaking of getting away,
away,
the Yankees came from seven back to actually being one game ahead of the Red Sox after winning two out of three from them. And they go against Oakland tonight with Sonny Gray on the mound. And, you know, John, what's your take on this
two out of three
against the Sox?
The early going has been great. Baseball's back, alive and well. The rest of the country isn't as crazy about it, but in the Northeast, Yankees, Red Sox, and
what
notably,
a great matchup.
Not only that, Bill, but as you and I discussed the other day, MLB is going to London next year, and who
Yankees,
are the two teams that they asked to be there?
The Yankees
and the
Red
Sox.
So, let's go to London and watch them.
We rest our case. Bill, I may just join you to do that. That is going to be an interesting...
I hear they're going to play in Wembley Stadium.
Wow.
which is the biggest stadium in London. But do you know when that's going to be?
No, I don't have the exact date, but we will come up with that before the end of the show. Anyway, back to your original question. Been a great first quarter of the season here. The teams jumped out. Red Sox had a couple of nice streaks. The Yankees followed it up with a tremendous streak. Going into the series, Red Sox were a game up. And in Boston, they were thinking, well, we'll probably take two out of three here and we'll be two games up. Next thing you know, the Yankees steal the first two games and the Red Sox are looking at the Yankees from above. And
from beneath.
Or from beneath they to their perspective, yes.
I like to think of them as sled dogs. And right now the Red Sox aren't really enjoying the view, are they?
Well, they're flat tied 26-11. Both teams, same record. Both teams have won three games, lost three games of the initial six, 13 golden games to go. And, Bill, my take on it is that both teams are very solid. They do everything well. Some things better than everybody else. I mean, you look at the Yankee outfield and you look at the Red Sox outfield, you take those six players, I think really four out of the six are the top four outfielders in the game.
Well, I have tremendous admiration for Mookie Betts as an outfielder.
Betts and Judge in right field. Remember when we were kids, we'd put the weakest player out in right field?
Well,
now you got Aaron Judge and Mookie Betts playing right field.
Hey, if those are the two weakest guys, I'll take them any day.
And then you got Giancarlo Stanton in left and J.D. Martinez sometimes left, sometimes it's Benintendi. But, you know, you really have two tremendous outfields. Now, obviously, the lineup can hit a ton up and down. Then you get to the bullpen. Yankees have a slight edge there. Kimbrel got beat up pretty good the other night, but you know, what did he do? He got back on the horse, came in last night, faced the same guys, and got him out.
That's
so,
right. You know, it just goes to show you, you never know. Baseball's a funny sport, and that's why you just can't even think about the last game.
Well, as a reliever, Bill, as you know, you have to have no memory. Not only sure, you have to be basically, a mindless solver who goes out there and is a flamethrower. I mean, you can't be thinking of your last great game because your head will get too big, and certainly your last bad game because you won't have the oomph behind your delivery. I mean, you've got to just go out there and say, I can throw the ball past this. This guy cannot hit this ball. Even though 24 hours earlier, Aaron Judge buried one to center field. But he had to throw that ball over the plate, Kimbrel did, to get him out. And he did it, brought him even. And it's funny. I thought the Red Sox blew the first two games late to the Yankees. Last night, the Yankees gave one up late. And you have to look at it, Bill. The early returns are in, and both teams are looking great. It's a shame they're in the same division. We revel in that because they get to play 19 times, and it's the ultimate prize because only one of them can win the division. The Red Sox have won the division the last 2 years. And you know what? You look at this and say it's going to be a battle down to the wire. And I believe I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I think the last three games are in Fenway Park.
I think you're right. It's either the last three games or three of the last six games are in Fenway. I had thought that the Yankees would struggle. Remember in April they went 9-9?
Yes.
And the Red Sox got out seven games ahead of them, and everybody was saying, hey, this Aaron Boone doesn't know how to manage.
Right, yeah. It's amazing how he got smart fast.
You know, you're never as smart or as dumb as you look.
Well, look at Bill Belichick in Cleveland. Everybody thought he was the dumb coach there. Yeah, and losing record in five seasons.
And look at look at the guy who's running the Phillies. Not a great manager, they said, during the first 2 weeks. All of a sudden, the Phillies are a second-place team, looking up at the baby Braves. And, you know, I'd love to be in Philadelphia right now, tonight, sitting in the stands, looking at that beautiful
skyline. Well, I guess somebody's got to be in Philadelphia, so...
Hey, you know, we're hitting for the golden age of Philadelphia sports.
It certainly looks better than it did. Yeah.
Villanova wins an NCAA men's championship. Phillies are starting to play good ball this season.
Of course, the Celtics damaged the 76ers season pretty. I mean, it was a great season for Philly. It ended on a thud in the parquet floor.
Like I told our audience earlier, they lost. They lost very few games. 2 years ago, they only won 10 games.
They only won 10, yeah.
So now, this season, the Sixers win 52 games, and they ran the table over the last 16 games, won every one of them, finished red hot, beat the Miami Heat, cooled them down right away, but they could not overcome a very talented, very experienced Boston Celtics.
Well, I think what it was, Bill, was he got out coached because the Celtics had their own injuries. And Kyrie Irving didn't even play in the series. So I think they were very much out-coached. But I can't, before we get off the NBA, the latest news, Bill, is that there's a new name for tanking.
Oh?
It's called Sixerism, okay?
Sixerism.
As in Philadelphia 76ers. Let's Sixer that, which means tank it, dog it, and they carry that distinction.
Well, I always thought that if you deep six something, now it's you deep 76 something.
Now you deep 76, even better.
Hey, we could come up with all kinds of great sports metaphors. Remember when they used to say 86 that?
Now 86.
Say 76
now it's 76 that.
Well, we won't be able to say that because, you know, it's not like they were tanking for Hank.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Well, the old 86 that, of course, was also a reference to the 86 Red Sox. So, you know, we were happy to put that in our rearview mirror as well.
Well, remember something. Bill Buckner has still not lived that down.
Oh, no. He will never in history. I mean, you just can't. It wasn't his fault. Guy had a stellar career and made one bad mistake in the worst possible moment. And that, that will just go down. And, you know, he's right up there with Neville Chamberlain, who was a nice guy.
Oh, well.
But at the wrong time and in the wrong place.
Well, remember, Neville Chamberlain was a very good mayor of Birmingham. When it came to sewer pipe, you couldn't beat him. He knew what he was doing, but when it came to
appeasement,
he got eaten alive.
Yeah.
You know, that was the equivalent of the deal that our fearless leader just tore up. But let's not talk politics.
No, let's not.
That's the third
because
rail of life these days, isn't it?
That's correct. So what else do you have for us coming up? You know, you're only 2 months away from training camps open up in the NFL. We're all chomping at the bit after a deep draft. Restocked a lot of teams with some good young talent. You have good players coming back from injuries on the Giants. Eagles coming off a tarnished, but nevertheless a Super Bowl. And something to be said for being in the right place at the right time.
Well, you know,
if they repeat, somehow the Eagles repeat, they will get a lot of respect and a lot of admiration, a lot of new fans. But Bill, they walked the walk. Now can they talk the talk?
Well, I think they can do both, John. Remember, the Eagles were sprinkled with magic dust this year. Whenever somebody got hurt, somebody else stepped up.
Yep, and which is what it takes to win.
That's what it takes to win because so much of football is injuries.
Injuries,
but,
absolutely.
But, you know, you've got a very, very big weekend coming up for the Giants. Today begins the rookie minicamp. And I'm wondering just how Saquon Barkley is going to be the center of attention.
Absolutely. How he's going to handle that.
Yeah, you know, there's a time to push and a time to grind, and the two-day mini camp opened today, and Barkley's got to be the center of the parade here.
Yep, for sure.
You know, he was a number two pick in the draft.
Very similar to Lawrence Taylor in 1979, the number two pick. Yeah. New Orleans took the running back.
Can you imagine, you know, here you are playing at Penn State. You know, great football school.
100,000 seat stadium.
All kinds of talent. Beaver Stadium's a real great place to play football. The crowd goes crazy. And then you walk into the Giant locker room. All of a sudden you're a New York Giant with all that history and tradition.
Yeah,
It's got to be very, very exciting for Saquon Barkley.
Absolutely. And all these young men, Bill, as we know, they're wonderful, talented people, and we wish them all Godspeed and good luck and safety in playing the game to the best of their ability.
You know, the interesting thing that I'm looking forward to for the football season is how this guy, Barkley, is going to elude tacklers. He's a great runner. I saw him play twice at Penn State, unfortunately, both times on TV. He's a quick, shifty running back. He hits the D-line, and somehow he manages to elude tackles. And, you know, I know that you can train people to do that. I don't think you can train them to have that kind of talent like this young man.
Now, I agree, Bill. He's got that rare combination of speed and power, that blend that allows him to shift gears effortlessly and just accelerate away from defenders. And if they don't get a secure hold on him, he's very tough to bring down. The question, and I think you put it square right on the nose, is he going to be able to elude these tackles? I mean, the NFL is a whole lot tougher to run against than the NCAA.
Yeah, I wonder whether you can teach elusiveness.
I don't think he can. I agree with you.
Really,
I don't think he can.
He's really talented at that. I've seen him break tackles. I've seen guys miss him by maybe a fingertip.
Sure.
When he makes a move. And, you know, I was always kind of interested in how a running back can elude a tackler, particularly hitting a line, because it's like being like a bowling ball. And so you kind of watch the guy's hips and you watch his shoulders a little bit, because you can throw a head fake and you can throw a shoulder fake, but a hip fake while you're running straight ahead full speed is not an easy thing to do and have somebody really bite on that. So I'm interested in how this guy is going to be.
Yeah, I think it's funny. When you look at the NFC East, Bill, you kind of have the same sort of mystery with all of them. I mean, obviously in Philadelphia, does Carson Wentz make it all the way back? Okay. The Giants, you just talked about Barkley. You look at Dallas. Well, you know, what are they doing at quarterback and with wide receiver now? Bryant's gone. The defense has been retooled. And then, of course, in Washington, you have no Kirk Cousins. So the whole NFC East is, I think, very much up for grabs in terms of what are these teams going to do to recapture past glory.
Well, you know, there's going to be some magic no matter what. I'm looking forward to the first Eagles-Giants game because I think that'll be the real test for the Eagles.
I agree. That'll be a huge game because I think it's the second game of the year. I could be wrong.
I'm not sure.
But that'll be a big leg up on whoever wins that game. You know, as far as the division goes, that will be a huge game. And you know, when you think about it, it's almost an unfair thing in football because you only play two games against that division opponent.
That's
you got to win one. Got to win one.
Oh, sure, because it's a division rival. See, that's why.
That's the first tiebreaker.
That's why I think the Patriots, good team as they are, have always had it so easy.
They've lived a charm life, Bill, for 20 years.
Right.
With three teams who have been irrelevant. Now, having
said that,
they've also beaten, more often than not, all the other good teams that made it into the playoffs as well.
But, you know, they have
not as beat up during the season.
Yeah, they have six games that they know.
Almost gimmies. Almost gimmies.
Gimme games. Yeah. I mean, not like the they're
not like the NFCs.
The Jets are going to roll over. The Bills are going to roll over. They'll try hard, but they just don't have the talent. Maybe things will be different with the Jets with their new quarterback.
You'd like to think there's a new era with the Jets.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah. You got the same coach, and he's got some limitations. I think there's a lot of promise for the Jets, and it will be interesting to see, you know, what kind of year they have. I think if they're smart, they will play for the future. They will build. They clearly are still light years from New England in that division and in the AFC. You know, they don't even rank in the top half. So in my view, they should be playing the young players, learning, getting better, and have another good draft, and then maybe next year they're a playoff team.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, they made a good choice re-signing Josh McGowan. I think he's certainly going to be a good mentor to Damon. The other thing that I noticed, and I'm not a big Todd Bowles fan, but I think he's a smart guy, and I think he understands.
I think he's smarter than he appears to be, Bill.
Well, I don't know whether he – I don't judge him on looks. He's just another coach.
I mean from his delivery, from his press conferences and so forth.
Well, he – you know, all I'm going to say is I'm real glad he's not another Buddy Ryan, okay, or Bill Belichick. As much as good a quarterback – a good a coach as Belichick is – I can't stand him. I mean, the guy cheats. I mean, he got into trouble for spying on the Rich Kotite era, too, in 14 New York Jets.
How desperate can you be to have to spy on the Kotites?
That's the big problem I have. But moving right along. Let's talk a little bit, because we've got about 15 minutes left in tonight's show. Let's talk a little bit. After this commercial break, about some of the things we have coming up.
Absolutely, Bill.
And let's hit that money button. Since Pat's not here, we can actually play some commercials.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
All you veterans, listen up. The sponsors of the May 19th Patriotic Concert being held at 2 p.m. at North Hunterdon High School are giving away free tickets to veterans and their families as a thank you for your service. Concert includes special guest Joe Piscopo and over 100 performers and musicians, including a 17-piece big band, a 32-piece string orchestra, Broadway show Trans-Siberian Orchestra singer, an operatic angel, a rising child star, a choral group, and, of course, the award-winning Hunterdon Harmonizers. You can call the show's producer, Kevin Gray, at 908-419-9878 for ticket info. Call right now, because tickets are limited. The number again is 908-419-9878. That's 908-419-9878. It's going to be a great show, so veterans, get your tickets now.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, the sports guys are back, folks. Watch out. They're coming at you like a bowling ball. Hey, John, the Red Sox are at Toronto tonight, aren't they? Or are they back in Fenway?
Red Sox are today, or I should say this evening, are in Toronto. Chris Sale, 3-1, a 2.02 ERA against Mr. Sanchez, who's 2-3 and a 4.14 ERA, and I don't believe has ever beaten the Red Sox. But, you know, I was looking at the schedule because we were contemplating before about, you know, what the schedule was at the end of the year. The last 13 days of the year, the Red Sox play 6 games against the New York Yankees. They play 3 in the Bronx, the 18th to the 20th, and the last 3 are in Fenway. And the last game is on Sunday, September 30 at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And, Bill, you and I will probably be watching football, but we'll probably have a second TV there or screen in screen, and we'll probably be watching this game together. So that is the answer to that question. But, you know, the other thing to talk about in terms of tonight is here you have the Yankees. They played Toronto, then Houston, which was fantastic, that great, great game in Houston. Then the Red Sox. Now you have the Oakland A's.
Well, remember,
right for a letdown.
Well, it could be a letdown, but, you know, the A's have had injuries. They've struggled.
Well, the Jays are...
They're not a bad team.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
they're a bunch of great leaders.
The A's... are actually 18-19. They're sub 500, but, you know, they're close to 500.
And remember, you know, the A's are the team that Dustin Fowler went to for Sonny Gray.
Correct.
And Dustin Fowler is a
This is his first appearance against his old team. Right. And as you know, that's always a fun thing. You know, one other thing, Bill, I noticed looking at the scorecard tonight. Now, the Mets jumped out to that tremendous start. Well, along with the Red Sox, they were like 10-1 like the Red Sox were,
right.
Okay? Looking at who would have thought this, if I'd have told you a month ago that the Phillies and Mets would be meeting, one team would have an 18-17 record, another team would have a 22-15 record, who would you assign those records to?
Well, of course, I would have thought it would be the Mets, but, you know, on paper, that's what you would have thought. But they play the game on grass.
Well, so that's baseball, Susan,
says. You never know. That's why they have to play these games.
That's why they play the games. But Bill, also, bring in the Phillies back down to reality here. They haven't played a lot of quality teams. They played the Nationals, and they swept them. But, I mean, they played a lot of the weaker teams with bad pitching. So baseball is one of those sports that it really evens out and sometimes takes a couple of months. We're only into the second month. We'll talk another month from now. We'll see in June. That's when you tend to see what's taking shape, what's really happening.
Well, you know, I think in the National League East, you're not going to see anybody really break out.
You're not going to see anybody run away except probably Washington will run away later in the summer.
Well, Washington's got to hope that they solve their pitching problems, and they have not really been hitting a ton like they usually do. But, you know, it's May 11th.
Exactly.
We've had 5 weeks of baseball, 6 weeks of baseball now. You know that in the early part of the season, a lot of guys just haven't put it together yet. So you really can't count anybody out with the possible exception of San Diego, who's already 11 back, and the Miami Marlins, who are already 8.5 back and don't look like they're going to improve. And, you know, are they tanking for draft choices? The other thing is really...
Are they sixering the season? I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know whether they're going to do that. And the other thing that's a surprise to me is the Baltimore Orioles are 9-27.
Horrendous.
Just like the White Sox,
yep.
They're
9-25. They had the worst record in baseball, along with the Chicago, and just horrendous.
And, you know, the real shame of it is...
Machado is the big prize.
Exactly. The Orioles play in such a great ballpark.
The Orioles built this ballpark right over Babe Ruth's birthplace.
Isn't that amazing?
And if you've ever gone to see a game there, it's downtown.
Which I have twice, yeah.
I've been in that park maybe five times. Three times to see the Yankees, actually, and twice to see, once was the Red Sox, and the other time was, don't ask me why, the Minnesota Twins. But the interesting thing about that ballpark is they have a brick wall.
In right field.
The right field
yep.
stands.
It's a beautiful brick color.
They did a beautiful job on it, and then... there's an opening where you see the Baltimore City skyline.
Yep.
And the same people who built that stadium built Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. Same kind of concept. One portion of the stands are open, so you can see the city skyline. And they put in a new innovation in Philly. Deep center field, there aren't stands. What there are tables to stand around, and this becomes a meet and greet place for lots and lots of young
kind of networking people. In center field, huh?
Oh yeah, exactly. Couple of friends of mine and I were there. We decided during the seventh inning stretch to take a walk around the field. And, you know, if I were a young 20-year-old or 25-year-old...
Now, Bill, this is a family show. Let's not go there.
I would be hitting center field. And,
I'm sure you'd be hitting something, but let's not go there.
Exactly. It is indeed a family show, and we've got about 8 minutes to go. We've already had commercial break number two.
Well, Bill, if you wouldn't mind me imposing on you,
go right ahead.
Could you possibly tell our listeners a little bit about what's happening at the shore in boating and sailing and what's going on in the world of sailing these days?
Well, you know, we've all gotten a late start because the weather has been so
bad.
For
sure.
And I can tell you that we have coming up what's expected to be one of the better sailing seasons.
Is that right?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Now, is that a farmer's almanac type prognostication, or what do you base that on, Bill? It's already late. But.
Well, it's already May 11. A lot of people have just gotten their boats in the water and are doing shakedowns. I'm hoping to get my boat in the water next weekend, not this one. But... the Barnegat Bay Racing Association has a whole slew of sailboat races. My own club, the Cedar Mar Yacht Club, is planning on a competition, some fun races on Saturdays and Sundays with the Tall Timbers Yacht Club and the Tom's River Club. Additionally, we're looking to do a couple of overnight cruises, and here's the one we're thinking about doing on July 14th as a club. We leave our marina, Ocean Gate Yacht Basin, and head north under the Route 37 bridge all the way to Point Pleasant and take the Point Pleasant Canal up to the Matitoconk River, the Manasquan River. Go out the inlet. And head south to the Barnegat Inlet. Now, from inlet to inlet, from the Manasquan Inlet to the Barnegat Inlet, we're going the full length of Island Beach. So we're passing Point Pleasant and Manaloking and...
some nice spots.
You know, Lavalette and some of those other places. And then we've got 8 miles, and that's about... 15 miles. And then we've got another 8 miles. That's just Island Beach State Park. Beautiful views until we get to the Barnegat Inlet channel marker. And the Barnegat's a funny inlet because...
Is it because of the tides, the winds? Or, I've heard that before, Bill. Can you be more specific?
Oh, sure. It's because it tends to shoal up, meaning it gets shallow where it's not supposed to. Because tide and current change every 6 hours. Sometimes you've got 8 feet of water, and sometimes you only have 6 feet of water. So when you get the tide running in, and you get the wind coming from the shore out to the ocean, what you get is you've got the water going one way and you've got the wind going the other, so it gets really choppy. And if it has shoaled up, the boat's
sailboat keel especially can bounce on the bottom a couple of times. The other thing with the Barnegat Inlet is once you get in the inlet and you begin entering what's called Oyster Creek Channel, the whole center area has to be skirted very carefully because it may only be a foot deep there. There's a high spot that's awash at high tide, but you can see the birds walking around with dry feet at low tide. And so you've got to circumnavigate that. And then you come to the big why. Now, what's the big why? Do I go to port or left for those of us who are landlubbers? Or do I go to starboard or right for those of us who are not? If I go left, I'm going into Barnegat Light and where the fishing fleet is, just past the Coast Guard station, and do a couple of real nice places to anchor out or a couple of marinas to go into. And then you can walk someplace and have a great dinner ashore at any of about 10 places in Barnegat Light. And you can go climb up the up Old Barney, the lighthouse.
Old Barney, yep.
A fun thing to do, particularly if you're in decent shape and you want to see a really nice view.
Yeah. It always, I've told you this before, Bill, but one of the things that always got me is because we pretty much go to Old Barney at least once every summer. And we would take the kids there, and the girls would be, all right, let's go to the top. And, of course, everything, when I say do something, whether we're in Disney World, running to Splash Mountain, or climbing Old Barney, it's a competition, right?
Oh,
ready, set, go. And I start running, and the girls are like, you're cheating, get back here. And we're running up there, halfway up, we're all out of breath. And we finally get all the way up there, and everybody's panting. We get to the top, and I'll look around, and of course it's 20 degrees cooler up there in the summer, maybe 95 yep. down on the sand. It's a beautiful 70 foot down, even chillier than that, beautiful air. And you'll just want to look at the views, and the girls will say, okay, let's go back down. It's like, wait a minute. We spent all this time and effort to get up at the top. Let's enjoy it for a little bit. Now we're going down because we want to go eat or in one of those great restaurants you mentioned. But every time I think of climbing Old Barney, Bill, I always think of how when I get up, it's kind of like Paris Tower in Las Vegas. When I get up there, I want to stay up there for an hour. I love looking at everything. Even though I've been there up there many, many times, when I put all that effort in, I like to be there. And Old Barney, you never know what you're going to see. There may be ships out on the horizon. They're going to be different ships. They're going to be coming in different ways. You may see speedboats. You may see interesting birds flying around, all kinds of stuff. So when you mention the Old Barney thing, Bill, it just conjured up all of those picturesque thoughts, and I thought I'd share those with you.
You know, you can see Old Barney from about 16 miles out.
We've seen it from your boat?
Oh, yeah, many times, but out in the ocean, about 16 miles. The really cool thing is when I go out the Barnegat Inlet and I start heading for Atlantic City, I can see the Revel Casino building. It looks like something out of
which isn't called Revel anymore. I don't know what it's called.
Well,
flavor of the week. I mean, it keeps...
It's been one bankruptcy proceeding after another.
Yeah, it's been a bankruptcy lawyer's delight, hasn't it, Bill? Yeah.
But you know, I think it's going to be something now called the Ocean Club Casino or something like that. It's a beautiful building. You can see it like 20 miles out to sea.
Yeah.
And when the sun hits it in the morning.
Oh, gorgeous. With that blue.
It's all reflected.
It's absolutely gorgeous building. They just built it too big.
Oh, it's huge.
It's just too big to maintain.
Well, I don't know about that, but it's a gorgeous building, and it's a true landmark.
Now, they opened in 2008, and we all know that wasn't a great year.
No, right at the beginning of the recession. So, you know, from day one, it was a kick in the teeth. Well, folks, we've got exactly a minute left. So I want to tell everybody, you know, we've got some rain coming tomorrow morning. It's going to clear, and then Sunday, they say it's going to rain, and... You know,
it's a rainy weekend. I did not realize that.
Sunday, it may very well rain, but tomorrow I'm headed to the boat, and Sunday I'm headed to the office to keep all my clients happy. John, what about you? What's your weekend like?
Well, we do have my daughter Allison's flying in from Boston. We have some things. My daughter Elizabeth and son-in-law Ryan's 5th anniversary today, which we'll be celebrating tomorrow. And, of course, Sunday I'll be celebrating my first Mother's Day without my mom, who died on April 1.
And my condolences.
And thank you, Bill. And I will be experiencing what you experience every Mother's Day and have for a while now, and this is my first one. And Mom, we'll be thinking of you.
Amen to that. You know, folks, it's been a great show. It's been a great week. I wish all of you a great weekend. Get up off that couch. It's Bill Wolfson and
John Manfreda wishing you a wonderful weekend. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
And happy Mother's Day out there, ladies.